go. It's 2 weeks into the year. We'll just go on and let you know where you can go on and blow those resolutions. Dairy Queen says they've been doing it since 1962. And with me in a blizzard, that works fine for me. So, I also saw this sign. It says, everything's gone up in price except salvation. It's still a free gift paid in full by Jesus. And that's what we want to focus on today. I've been talking my lesson, He Died Alone for You and Me. I texted Lucas too late this morning. I meant to text him yesterday, and so this was on me, but hoped that he could have sung the song 10,000 Angels, but like I said, I forgot. So, do what? Oh, yeah, I'm already being told I've got announcements to make that I forgot to make. A few announcements on Honduras. One, we're going to try to meet next week right after service just for a quick update. If you haven't gotten money to us today, then talk to us, or if you've talked to us, then we're good to go. And we're going to start planning. They've put a sheet out there, a list of things that we could use if you'd like to donate that we've talked about, especially if you go to the dentist, ask them for toothbrush, toothpaste, towels, shirts. There's a list. So just look at that. Grab one of those if you're willing to buy some of those things. That would be awesome. Also, we've got a lot. This is looking like maybe one of our largest crew going. We've got a lot of young people, and we've got some families trying to go. So if you can't go, but you are able to donate towards this, I know they would be very appreciative of it. You can tell me specifically who you want it to go to or what you want it to go to. If you want it to go to feeding people, go to the medical brigade, or if you want it to go towards helping members here go to Honduras, that would be awesome. Whether it's $20, $200, $2,000, it would be a great help for them, especially, like I said, we've got some families trying to go, and that's a lot, but they feel the importance of this work. And I tell you, when they go, they work. We don't play around as much as you think we do. We do a lot of work. We're doing a VBS. We're doing a medical brigade. We're going to be bagging over 100 bags of food and then passing those out. So there's a lot of work to be done. And so if you're willing and able to help, I know we'd appreciate it. You can get with myself or Jenny or John or Katie, either one, if you're able to do so. Okay, now back to my lesson. Thank you, Jenny. The song 10,000 Angels, even if we didn't sing it, right there is the end of the chorus, which to me always sends chills down my spine. The song is beautiful, but it's this right here. Oh, we're good. Lucas like, I can do it now. No, then I'll preach too long, and then I'll get in trouble, and people start looking at their watches, and I'll lose Troy back there completely. He'll have a nap. We'll roll. But it says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but, and here's the chill, he died alone for you and me. Now you say, well, he didn't die alone. Greg, there's two other people on the cross. There's people out. No, he died alone. And the reason it's alone is because at that moment in his life, for the first time in the existence, well, for all eternity, he was without his father. And I read these words of him dying alone for you and me, and I'm thinking, he died alone so we don't have to. No matter where we are when we pass away, if we're Christians, we don't have to die alone. Our Father is with us right there to the very end, to the last breath. And he's going to send his son back on Judgment Day to take those who are Christians and faithful to him to be in a home with them in heaven for all eternity. He died alone so that we would not have to. But the sad part is there are going to be millions and millions of people who have chosen to die alone without their father and then spend an eternity paying the price that Christ tried to pay for them, but they didn't accept. We know in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It used to bother me that they say free gift, because you know a gift is free. But as I've gotten older, it's like, no, it's emphasizing the point that it's costing us really nothing. Because we're not having to die for our sins. Christ did that. So it is emphasizing the fact that this is free. It is a gift that we didn't deserve, that we did nothing for. And yet God is offering it to us anyway. And every time I hear people out there, whether they're atheists or whatever they are, that talk against God, it breaks my heart. Because they're choosing to say, no, I don't want that gift. I don't want forgiveness of sins. I don't want salvation. I don't want to be in heaven. And it's heartbreaking. Because Jesus died so that they would not have to do that. Read with me Matthew 27, 45 through 50. Beautiful part of this. Beautiful and yet sad. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there when they heard it said, this man's calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and they took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. But the rest of them said, let us see if Elijah comes to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and he gave up the ghost. My God, why have you forsaken me? At the moment of worst in Christ's life, God had to turn his back on him. He said, but why? That doesn't make sense. Why would God? Because God can't be where sin is. And at that moment, Christ took upon the sins of the world. The realization to us is easy. All those people that were below him, that were mocking him, the very ones who were saying, let's see if Elijah's going to come save him. The very Romans who were down there who had cast lots for his clothing and actually put the nails in his hand, Christ took up on their sins. The question will be after his death and resurrection is, how many of them will accept the gift he paid for? The question is no different today than it was then. How many of us will accept the gift that Christ paid for with his life? Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, or Isaiah 53 is a beautiful prophecy of Jesus Christ. And when you read it in the New Testament, it's like, wow, how accurate it was. But we're talking about God here, right? He knew what his son was going to have to go through. And he shared it with Isaiah in 53, verses 3 through 5. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering. We forget that human side of Christ. We read this morning about John the Baptist in our class. And after John the Baptist had been beheaded and his disciples came and told Jesus, it says Jesus went off to be alone. That human side of Christ, there was a lot going on there. He just lost his cousin, the forerunner, the man that had baptized him. But now he also realized the whole weight of what John had been doing has now been placed on Christ's shoulders. He was a man of sorrows. He was familiar with struggles. He wasn't the Son of God that God didn't let anything bad happen to, that he never felt emotions. He felt everything that we feel today. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Brothers and sisters, those verses alone, I could sit down and be quiet, and you're all thinking, yeah, you go ahead, Greg. And it says enough about what Jesus did for us. The descriptions of his death, the prophecies of the type man he was, and you go back and you look and look at how many followed him, but look at how many despised him, how many hated him. The fact that he was a human being that felt sorrow, that felt pain, that felt anxiety, stress, anger, all the things that we feel that can make life so hard sometimes. He felt those. And even though he knew John the Baptist was going to die, the human side of him still felt that. although he knew it was his job to become that Messiah that was all prophesied for, he felt the weight of that because he was in human form. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Did you hear that? Exactly what we heard in Isaiah. The fact that it was his death, his wounds, that we are able to be healed. Those who go through sicknesses and surgeries, and we've got so much of that going on right now. I realize as I look back through the past just few years how much God's blessed me, taking care of me, helping me recover, helping me heal, helping me be able to do the things I love to do despite all the surgeries and things that I've gone through. I know the great physician is there. But of all the wounds he can heal, all the sicknesses that we've gone through, all the things, it's sin. It's something we can't go to a doctor for. There's no prescription for it. I can't go to physical therapy and make it better. Only Christ can heal us from the wounds of sin. He is the physician that we have to go to if we wish to have these sins washed away. Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, it reads, and you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. This is Colossians. This is talking to the Christians in Colossae. And he's reminding them what Christ did. While we were still dead in our sins, we were uncircumcised in the flesh, he brought us together with God. He's the one that forgave our trespasses. He nailed our sins to his cross. You know, we come together on the first day of the week, and I hope I'm not stealing a lot of scriptures from everyone who's doing the Lord's Supper part today. If I am, start flipping, it's okay, or just read them again. But this is what we're here for, is to remember what Jesus did for us. And you say, well, why do we have to do that every week? So that when we go back out in this world tomorrow morning, we remember who we are. Remembering what Christ did for us reminds us of who we are as Christians and the life that we ought to live. Continuing looking on in 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. And here it is, that ye should follow in his steps. I love that one, because have you ever heard the old saying, if you got your ducks in a row? Apparently in my life I don't have ducks, I have cats, and they're just everywhere. But if you've ever seen a mama and her baby ducks, it is hilarious. Wherever mama goes, it's just like that little line right behind her. I remember going through Hendersonville one time. We were crossing a bridge, and the car in front of me just slammed on their brakes. And I slammed on mine. I thought, there's not even a car in front of him. What's wrong? And the other side of the road, they stop as well. Everybody's slamming on their brakes and stopping. I'm like, what on earth is wrong with these people? I looked. There was nobody trying to cross the road until I looked down at the road. Here come a mama and about a half a dozen little baby ducks, and they're crossing the road. And it stopped every car in Hendersonville. Oh, if we could have the faith. Those baby ducks just follow mama. And mama jumps off the edge of something into the water, bless their little hearts, they just jump too. Because they know mama's taking care of them, whatever it may be. They face whatever fear mama faces because mama's there. Our Savior is trying to guide us. Our job is to look at the example he lived, the life he lived, and try with all of our might to follow him. I know if you watch those baby ducks here once in a while, one wanders over here, one wanders over two, I'm running into each other. That's kind of like us, isn't it? But in the end, they always battle to stay in sight of that mother. And that's kind of our life, is we're trying to battle to make sure we don't lose sight of Christ. Just keep him within my sight. It's okay. I've got to keep on. Sometimes I feel like I'm right behind him, and there's other times I feel like I'm going to lose view of him if I don't straighten something out. And then there's times I've looked up and I couldn't see him at all. And I tell you what, in reality, when I look up and I realize how far I am or how big of a mess I'm making with whatever it is I'm doing, it's terrifying. Because I know at that moment now I'm alone. Because I'm not following my Savior. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross." Talking about love, brothers and sisters, Christ himself said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." And we can understand that, can't we? But if you go in and read the next verse that people don't always talk about, it says, "I am your friend if you do whatsoever I command you." He died, brothers and sisters, so we could live. God sent his son and says, "I need you to die." Then he sends God's word through his son and the apostles and says, "Now what I want you to do is live." That's a great deal. Because if we really did what deserved, Christ should get to live and we deserve to die. But God made us the opposite offer. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, I read this a lot at funerals. But unfortunately, brothers and sisters, it's not for the dead that need to hear this, it's for the living. It's a reminder for us who are striving to be Christians that it's worth the fight. It's worth whatever struggle Satan puts before us. Beginning of verse 13, it says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." So I've said many times, I've done more funerals than I like to remember. I've done them for good Christian people that I believe with all my heart will be the ones that Christ will be calling that day. And I've done funerals of those who I know won't. I've felt the pain of the funerals of those that I know won't. Felt it within my own heart. I've seen it with those around. But I've also seen those funerals where, yes, there were tears, there was crying, but there's also a lot of smiles, a lot of understanding that even though they've left this life and it's hard for us to maybe lose them, we had that faith, that hope of knowing where someday on judgment they're going to be. And then if there's those that you've lost, that you love, that you know are going to be there, brothers and sisters, it should give us more encouragement, more strength to press to try to be there with them for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, when I do sermons like this, it's because that's what I want us to be. Tonight we're having a singing and potluck, I guess, unless something changes with weather or whatever. But can you imagine doing tonight what we're about to do, singing, and so often we push that down and make it, it's not important. Really? Because for eternity it says we're going to be singing praises to God. Now we do it here with 130 to 150. I've been at CYC where there was 10,000, and I'm here to tell you it's mind-boggling. It'll just send chills down your spine. Can you imagine doing it with everyone who's been obedient to God standing before the throne of God? standing there with Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Peter and John and John the Baptist, singing praises to God in a place where there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more anxiety or stress or depression, where the only emotion we feel is peace and happiness. Now, if that doesn't boggle your mind, you're not listening. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, I'm telling you what God did for you. I'm telling you what Jesus did for you so that you do not have to face the pains of the death in hell for eternity. Christ said, I'll do it for you, and he did. A horrible death. And every time someone in this world decides, I'm not going to obey the gospel, the blood of Christ is wasted. It's wasted. The death of Christ becomes of no reason every time someone says, no, I'm not going to obey the gospel. But on the opposite side, every time someone comes forward and they repent of their sins and confess their belief, and they go down into this water grave of baptism or any water anywhere on the face of this earth, it says the angels in heaven rejoice because a soul that was lost was saved. The blood of Christ was not wasted. It cleansed someone from all unrighteousness. This morning, you're ready to be that person, to come forward and let the blood of Christ pay for your sins and give you that glorious, beautiful hope of being with him in eternity, in heaven, with each other. That should be one of our greatest dreams. Someday in heaven, I'm standing right beside Kenneth, David, Kelly, even Rachel. And yeah, little M. The people I've been here with for so long and have loved me so much that I get to stand with you in heaven for eternity. And if you are a Christian, brothers and sisters, so like I said, sometimes those baby ducks kind of lose their way. They get confused. They get turned around. Something gets their attention. Maybe this morning you need prayers to get your focus back on Christ. Get him back in your vision so you know where you need to go. Whether you need prayers or whether you're ready to obey the gospel, will you come this morning while we stand and sing?